Have you ever wondered what a literary character's personality would look like if it were a painting?
Interesting thought.
Well, that's what we're diving into today. Yeah, we're going to be exploring this blog post by John Rust, where he uses AI to create a visual interpretation of, wait for it, Hamlet's psychology. You know, Shakespeare's brooding prince, grappling with betrayal, revenge, all that good stuff in that famous tragedy.
Yes, it's a fascinating blend of literature and technology.
Oh, for sure.
John Rust takes us through this process of using two AI tools,
Okay.
DALL-E, which is like a digital artist, and GPT-4, which is a powerful language model.
Okay, so I'm already intrigued. So GPT-4 is the brains and DALL-E is the artist.
You got it.
How does that even work?
Well, imagine GPT-4 as like a detective
Okay.
analyzing clues within the text of Hamlet. It then uses this analysis to generate a psychological profile for Hamlet using something called a Stanning scale.
Okay, break that down for me.
Sure.
What's a staining scale and why is it useful here?
Think of staining scales like grades for different personality traits.
Okay.
They range from 1 to 9,
Okay.
with 5 being average.
Okay.
So it gives us a standardized way to see Hamlet's strengths and weaknesses.
I see.
But what's really interesting is GPT-4 doesn't just paint Hamlet as this like one-dimensional gloomy character.
Right.
It picks up on the complexity of
I
his
do wait.
personality.
So it's not just saying Hamlet's sad, the end.
Exactly.
That's pretty impressive. What kind of grades did GPT-4 give him?
Well, for example, GPT-4 gives Hamlet a very high score in introspection and moral dilemmas,
Okay.
which makes sense given all of his soul searching in the play.
Right. He's definitely the poster child for overthinking.
Yeah, absolutely.
And on the flip side, GPT-4 gives him extremely low scores in optimism
What?
and cheerfulness.
Yes.
Yeah, not exactly the life of the party, our Hamlet.
No, not really.
But I'm curious, how do we get from these grades to an actual visual representation?
This is where the artist, DALL-E, comes in. GPT-4 takes those Stanning scores and assigns colors to each trait based on their psychological associations. So, for example, introspection gets a deep blue, which evokes that sense of thoughtfulness and depth.
Ooh, I like that. Very fitting.
Right.
What about those low score? Like, what color did optimism get?
Dull yellows.
Dull yellows.
Quite a contrast to the bright and cheerful yellows we usually associate with optimism.
Wow. Yeah, dull yellow really paints a picture of Hamlet's state of mind, doesn't it?
Exactly. Then GPT-4 feeds those colors and traits to DALL-E, who uses them to create a visual representation. And get this, the image DALL-E comes up with for Hamlet
Okay.
is a Chinese-style landscape.
A Chinese landscape.
Yes.
That's unexpected.
Yeah.
Why that style, I wonder?
That's the intriguing part. John Rust even notes in his blog post that DALL-E seems to have a preference for Chinese art styles when creating these psychological portraits.
It makes you wonder if there's something about those styles that really lends itself to representing these complex psychological ideas, right?
Yeah.
Maybe the one thing about the brushstrokes or the symbolism.
Exactly. And that's one of the things that make this whole approach so fascinating. It's not just about getting an AI to analyze a character. It's about the unexpected connections and questions that arise along the way.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it really is a fascinating interplay between like art and artificial intelligence.
It is, but I'm curious though.
Yeah.
These standing grades that GPT-4 gives,
Right.
are they really comparable to how psychologists would assess someone's personality?
Okay.
Or is it more of an artistic interpretation?
That's a great question. And it touches on one of the limitations of this approach. John Rust himself points out in his blog post that the AI is using what are called criterion-referenced Stannings as opposed to norm-referenced Stannings, which are typically used in psychological assessments.
Okay, I'm going to need you to break that down for me.
Sure.
What's the difference?
Imagine you're taking a test in school.
Okay.
A criterion-referenced test is like being graded based on a preset standard. You need to get a certain percentage correct to pass,
Okay.
regardless of how other students perform.
Okay, I get that.
So how does that relate to norm referenced?
A norm reference test is more like being graded on a curve.
Okay.
Your score is compared to how everyone else in the class did.
Yeah.
So if everyone does really well, even a high score might not be considered outstanding.
Ah, so it's about relative performance,
Exactly.
not just meeting a fixed benchmark.
Exactly.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But how does that apply to Hamlet and his standing scores?
Well, with Criterion reference standings, GPT-4 is basically comparing Hamlet's traits to some internal standard it has developed based on its vast knowledge base. So it's like GPT-4 has its own idea of what constitutes a high level of introspection, for example.
Exactly. Mm. But in traditional psychology, we use norm reference standings.
Okay.
We compare a person's scores to a large sample of people to see where they fall on the spectrum.
So theoretically, GPT-4 could be giving Hamlet a high score in moral dilemmas, not because he's objectively more conflicted than the average person, but because he's more conflicted than other characters GPT-4 has analyzed.
Precisely. Mm. So it's an interesting and thought-provoking analysis.
Yeah.
But we need to keep in mind that the AI is using a different yardstick, so to speak.
So while this AI-generated portrait of Hamlet is fascinating,
right,
we can't necessarily take those Stenine scores as like a clinical assessment of his personality.
Exactly. It's more of an artistic interpretation informed by data analysis, which is still a remarkable feat.
Yeah.
This doesn't diminish the value of the exercise.
Right.
It just adds a layer of nuance to our understanding.
And this idea of different yardsticks,
yeah,
it makes me wonder if we even can objectively measure something as complex as personality,
right,
even with traditional methods.
It's a question that has been debated by psychologists for decades.
Yeah.
There are inherent limitations to any attempt to quantify human experience.
Yeah.
Whether we're using AI or traditional assessment tools.
Right. I guess it all comes back to that balance of art and science.
Yeah.
Using data to inform our understanding, but also recognizing the subjective elements at play.
I think that's a great way to put it.
Yeah. It's amazing to think that we can use AI like this to explore these complex ideas in literature.
It really is.
It makes you wonder, like, what other possibilities are out there.
Oh, yeah. Tons.
Yeah.
This approach could be applied to so many other characters and works of art.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, imagine seeing a visual representation of Lady Macbeth's ambition.
Oh, wow.
Or Holden Caulfield's angst.
Or even historical figures.
Oh, yeah.
Could you imagine an AI-generated portrait of, like, Abraham Lincoln's leadership?
I know, right?
Or Cleopatra's charisma?
The potential applications are truly vast.
Yeah.
And what I find so compelling is that it's not just about replicating what we already know.
Right.
It's about using AI to uncover new insights and perspectives.
Yeah, it's like having a new lens through which to view human nature.
Exactly.
Both real and fictional.
Precisely. And this whole idea of using AI to understand personality.
Mm-hmm.
Does it make you think differently about how we analyze characters or even how we understand people in our own lives?
I think it definitely makes me more aware of the complexities and nuances of personality.
Right.
You know, we often try to categorize people into like neat little boxes.
Yeah.
But the reality is much more fluid and multifaceted.
That's a really insightful observation.
Thanks.
And this approach with AI using Stenine scales and colors,
yeah,
it really highlights those subtle variations and contradictions within a personality.
Right. And I think it also underscores the importance of context.
Mm-hmm.
Like we were saying earlier, those Stenine scores for Hamlet are based on GPT-4's own internal standards and its analysis of the play.
Yeah.
So it's not an objective truth,
right,
but rather a reflection of how the AI is interpreting the data.
Exactly. It's all about interpretation, isn't it?
Yeah.
Whether it's an AI analyzing a text or a human reading between the lines.
Right.
There's always an element of subjectivity involved.
I think this deep dive has been a real eye-opener.
Me too.
It's given me a lot to think about in terms of how we use AI to explore these really complex and fascinating aspects of human nature.
I agree. And for anyone listening who's interested in learning more, I highly recommend checking out John Rust's blog post.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
He goes into much more detail about the process.
Yeah.
And has other AI-generated portraits that are worth exploring.
Oh, it's definitely a rabbit hole worth diving into.
Yeah.
And who knows, maybe it will inspire some of our listeners to experiment with these AI tools themselves.
I hope so.
There's a whole world of possibilities waiting to be discovered.
Absolutely. And as we continue to develop and refine these technologies, who knows what other incredible insights we might uncover.
Well, on that note, I think it's time to wrap up this deep dive.
Okay.
Thanks for joining us on this fascinating journey into the world of AI and literature.